you know, how to incorporate that into mandatory. Cause if sometimes a lot of people don't show up to those things. So we've been discussing that and other things. So yes, I would like to be voted back into the programming committee. And I've been on there for the this past couple years since this board has formed. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank.
And Adisa Armand.
Good afternoon, everyone. I see that there are three esteemed colleagues on this listener station board who have had tons of experience. I come not as a novice to the area programming. I've done it in my past life. But I would like to share with you that I will be bold, I will be creative and imaginative, and I'm going to be seeking the best options for the BIPOC community, as I have been sharing with you before. I think that it is always important for me. My personal core values are very important to me, and it is really important for us to strive for excellence in all that we do. And I have been told that I'm an intuitive person, not only by the people who know me well, but when they meet me, they say, you've got some insights that I didn't even see. So I think that I would be an excellent candidate, and I would love to be on the programming committee because of all of the, and there's one other thing I wanted to add, and that is I feel that I'm very bold and daring, creative and imaginative, and I'm focused. And that's my spiel for programming. Thank you.
Thank you, Adisa. And next.
Thank you. Okay, so next we're going to go to the audit committee. And Zach, did you want to speak?
Sure, I can just say a couple words. I just want to contribute a little bit more than I've been doing just from these bi-monthly meetings. So I think this is a good way to plug myself in to learn as much as I can, listen to the people that are working on the ground for the station, and just do my best to keep KPFA on the track that it's been, which is the only station of the five that continues to pay its bills and run in the black. And so I'm just interested to dig in.
Thank you, Zach. Elizabeth Milos, did you want to speak to the audit committee?
Yes, I do. And thank you for the opportunity. I realize that the audit and having regular audits are really important in order to be able to get funding and to be able to function. And I look forward to working with Pacifica as a network as a whole to be able to go forward together. Basically, I understand that there's been much discussion as to KPFA's being in the black and whereas the other stations being not in the black. However, I am very hopeful to be part of this committee that will stress the unity of the Pacifica network as a whole and bring KPFA into that fold as well, because the discussions that have been going on so far have been very divisive in my point of view. And so the auditing was going to be very helpful for me to learn more about this and to be able to help KPFA move forward as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to the elections committee, I will go ahead and speak myself. There were many problems with the 2021 election. There were many people who didn't get ballots, many people who were not able to use the postcard ballots, many people who did not get the email ballots, and there was a lot of confusion about how the information was given out and wanting to have neutral. I think it's really important to have neutral administrators of the elections and also to have independent national certification of our elections. So those are some of the goals that I would have. And I also am, you know, concerned about the disqualification of the four members of the KPFK LSB and feel that it's important to have an investigation of what happened with that part of the election. And I want to also say that I'm concerned about that there may be a conflict of interest with the general counsel for Pacifica, who is a programmer at WBAI, being involved in elections. Thank you.
I need to let everybody know we have 6 minutes left to maintain our schedule.
Okay. Elizabeth.
Yes, I too was very upset about the way the elections were handled for this last LSB election. And specifically, I feel that the ballots were sent out prior to any debates. We had to literally have to have a YouTube protest in front of KPFA in order for debates to be actually aired on KPFA, which was against the bylaws, because that's supposed to be aired. The time should have been afforded that without us having to look for that. As well as the fact that the concern about the disqualification, I feel that the National Election Supervisor, even though she gave those eight members who used the mailing list in the wrong way and seeking donations for their particular new day position as opposed to the actual elections, and they were using the Pacifica list in the wrong way, they were given 10 days to be able to correct that, and they did not do so. And so out of eight, four were disqualified, because it seems, I'm not going to go into that right now, but those four were disqualified because apparently they did refuse to hand in, to correct the remedy of the situation.
Your minute is up.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Aki.
Yeah, sure. I just echo basically what Carol said, that there is a concern about, you know, disqualifying candidates and also revoking the votes of voters, which is not following the, corporate code. And the other thing is that, you know, the election supervisor is supposed to follow the fair campaign provisions. That's her duty. It's not her duty to do other things that's not within her purview. So I think the election committee, you know, needs to be following what Bido says. Thank you.
Thank you, Aki.
Thank you. All right.
Point of information. On the return ballot, is it says you send it to both Craig Dunkerley and Kai. Is that correct for the
elections committee only, not the community advisory board, because Craig is a candidate for the community advisory board. So do not send the community advisory board one to Craig. Craig was already organizing and working with us as a parliamentarian for the elections committee election. And so we have included him as for the elections committee, but the community advisory board goes just to Kai.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Frank here with a quick clarification question.
Go ahead.
When I was doing my copy and paste to send my email back, I just wanted to be sure I got everybody in the right spot on the write-ins. Could we just go down the audit elections and just make sure, do like, okay, Zach and Elizabeth and
I will audit. Do that at the end. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let's, continue on, governance. Aki. Did you want to talk about?
Basically all of the efforts that we've been trying to do over the past couple of years is to try to make the governance more functional instead of confrontational. So I think that, yeah, being in governance committee, we should continue to pursue that path.
Thank you, Aki.
Okay, Daniel?
yes, Daniel here. I've been on the governance committee the last year, and I want to say that I felt that things went pretty well. We're pretty respectful of each other. Basically functional. I mean, it could have been better. Things can always be better, but we did, I felt we did well, and we dealt with some, important issues. I want to say I attended all of our monthly meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you. And I will just speak to the governance committee. One of my goals, I know people are going to be talking about CPB funding today. One of my goals has been to raise the issue of the fact that the Pacifica National Board, many of their meetings have not posted their minutes. And there is a lack of communication from the board with the local station boards about basic things. For instance, like who to vote for, for the committees, which committees to establish. And also there are many committees that are not posting their agendas and their minutes.
You have 15 more seconds.
When CPB reviews Pacifica, they look at the KPFTX website to see if there are agendas and if there are minutes. There are many, many committees. And the PMB is actually creating more self-serving committees of their former board members, have set up committees of 25 people. And that
Point of order.
Have no
We're already.
You don't get to interrupt her when she's making her statement. Go ahead, Carol.
Instead
of a committee with 25 people who are not elected.
Your time is up, Carol.
Run the nation.
Okay.
Your time
is up, Carol. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So governance.
We're out of time. We are now into.
No, I wanted to say
time.
Elections. That's why I'm saying
for the board. Excuse me.
You don't get to just
please
speak.
Stop interrupting.
You need to ask to be, we will be muting you if you don't start asking to be acknowledged by the chair. You don't get to just speak up. This is not a free for all. This is a meeting. We will have some order here.
And we are now at 12:30, which is the time that we allotted for this.
I move that we take 3 more minutes for any of the Committee of Inclusion nominees who wish to speak.
Thank you. I have a second?
I have an election.
I have a second. So all those who are not in favor of extending 3 minutes, raise your hand. I don't see any hand raised, Fred.
Do
you?
I see no hands. Oh, there's okay. Donald Goldbacher's got his hand up. He's against it.
Okay. So, but that's the only one person?
Yep, it passed.
Thank you. Then we will have 3 more minutes extension.
Okay. Elections candidate Elizabeth Milo wants to speak.
Thank you. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Thank you so
much.
She already spoke.
She had 3 minutes.
I spoke for audit.
And
I
spoke Carol,
for
you
audit
can't
committee,
interrupt
not for elections.
You can't just
Carol,
Carol, if she
I
Carol,
spoke for the audit committee, not for the election committee.
No, she spoke for elections. She
no, I spoke for
guys, can we not have this argument? Let Elizabeth speak, please.
Go ahead, Elizabeth.
You are correct. I did speak for elections. My mistake. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Do we have anybody else? Carol.
Lily, did you want to speak about Committee of Inclusion?
Oh, well, since it's never met, I will assume that I will be under the guidance of my esteemed co-candidate, Andrea Turner, to give me guidance in that area. And I'm sure whatever the goal is, we will be able to meet it. I assume the inclusion means is to diversify the whole concept of KPFA radio, which from the time I've been on the board, everybody gives lip service to, and it's the same white, liberal, patronizing, entitled contingent. Thank you.
Thank you, Lily. I know it's Andrea's passion, so I'm sure she'll be working with you.
Andrea, yes, I will. I think this time around, we're going to have to take the leadership to define the areas of work and then try to move forward on that. I'm willing to, it's called stepping up to the plate. And I think that this is a time to do it, especially in my last year here, at least to make a statement on inclusion in this paternalistic society that we live in. Okay. Thank you very much. And yes, I am really willing to work with you on this so much.
Thank you, Andrea.
Thank you all so much.
Great. Adisa, would you like to speak?
Is she in the Inclusions Committee?
She was nominated for the Inclusions Committee.
Okay. Adisa?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Fred. I have a passion for this committee and also for the programming committee, basically because of my stand when I ran for the LSB board. It was part and parcel of my passion for becoming a member of this listener station board. And the area, the committee on inclusion would be an additional place for me to use my gifts that I have had worked with inclusion and diversity and racism. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you, Adisa. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. And is there anyone who has not been able to vote?
Daniel here. I have one question. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on. We can hear you.
I voted early. I voted right away when those ballots came up. And then afterwards, there were some more nominations. So what I did was I resent my ballot. And then I said, please, this is an update. Please disregard my previous ballot. Will that
work? Your ballot is okay, Chris tells us.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, we're only 5 minutes over.
That's my new one. My new ballot, I hope.
Thank you. Okay, so Carol?
It seems like everybody everyone has received a ballot. And Kai, did you have any other concerns about anybody in terms of the election process?
Not at the moment, no.
Is everything going okay?
Yeah, so far.
Okay. Kai, can you notify me if there's anyone whose ballot you have not received who's on this call later? Yeah. Or you know, can the witness also check that if there is anybody who is on this meeting who has not who you have not received a ballot for?
Yep.
Darlene Pagano has her hand up.
Darlene?
Yeah, here we go. I am very startled to be voting today because there has been no posting, no carts on the radio, no announcements to listeners that such an organization is being opened up for listeners to participate on the CAB. This is an election of people recruited by LSB members. And that is a closed circle. I understood that we had one member from the old functioning CAB that we could vote to let him start the process with us on this, but without ever making a public opening for listeners to participate. What the heck are we doing? We cannot vote today until we've had a chance to put out the message to listeners that there is an election that they are eligible for. This is the almost a perfect example of a fraternity rush or a closed or secret society recruitment. This is not, we are not yet ready. We have not completed an election process. I am gobsmacked.
We're going to be timing. Okay, thank you.
You're doing it. Chris is next, and then Sherry, and then Frank, and then Lee.
Thank you.
And then Elizabeth.
Am I recognized?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to mention for the task forces, they're open to anyone. So it actually technically doesn't require an election. You guys can just show up to these meetings. The PMB doesn't even vote on these things. Anybody who wants to participate in them can. Thank you.
Sherry?
Two things. I had sent both my ballots to Kai only. Shall I send the...
That's okay.
Okay, all right. And the second thing is that part of the issue with the cabs is that we wanted to bring in people who are not in the traditional communities that listen to the station. So some outreach, I think, from the description of some of the candidates was done beyond the listenership. And I don't think that just publicizing this, the CAB on air is going to result in expanding the reach of programming. I'm done.
Thank you, Sherry. Frank?
Can I just clarify, are we on the cab discussion right now?
It appears to be.
Because if we start the cab discussion,
no,
up, I'd like
no, to we're really not on the cab discussion
yeah,
right
we're
now.
Kind of veered off it.
We are on the, has everybody
voted.
Completed their ballots?
Okay, let me just say then, can you just call on me when the cab discussion comes up? Because I've been working hard on it and I'd like to speak at that moment.
Well, after the delegate assembly.
Okay, and then I'd just like to make sure that we go through the list of people that are on each seat before I submit my ballot.
And let me state that we can always add people to the cab. You know,
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah, but the whole issue right here is there's fire drill at the PNB level because of the cab funding. So we want to make sure that we support our executive director and move it along. And that's why we're doing it. It's not some kind of nefarious subterranean issue here, okay?
Definitely.
Thank you. Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that. And I think the next one was Elizabeth.
I'll lower my hand because that way my question was answered. Thank you.
Thank you.
Eric, can you lower your hand?
Just a point of clarification here. Could I just remind the person running the meeting that they could lower people's hands if they don't seem to lower it, or they could also mute people if they ain't muting themselves?
Yeah.
Just a reminder out there.
We kind of depend upon people to do it themselves, but if it goes on, you know, Fred's really good at helping you out with that. I'm just kind of a Luddite here with this stuff. I'm not feeling that great today, so just to let you know, I'm not top of the morning here. I can still smell though, so I'm not too worried, but it's late.
Okay. Are we going to return to our regular meeting now?
Well, let me ask Carol if she's through with that portion of the vote. Are we?
Yes. Carol? Yes.
Then we return to our regular meeting.
Frank's request to just run through the list, like Zach, Elizabeth on the audit, Carol, Aki, Elizabeth on elections, Fred, Philip, Frank, Sterling, Adisa on programming, Aki, Carol, Daniel on governance, Lily, Andrea, Turner, Adisa on committee of inclusion. Is that everybody?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anybody that was getting written in. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. I appreciate that.
And okay. Just so you know, we're 12 minutes over our schedule.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. We're leaving the delegates meeting and returning to the regular meeting. Do people want to take a brief break?
I could.
Yes. Okay. Let's take a health break, shall we? What is the body's desire? 15 minutes? What do you think?
5 would work for me.
5 minutes.
Okay. 5 minutes.
It 5 minutes now, and we can take a longer break in a little while.
Okay.
So we'll get back at 12:48.
So I'm going to call the meeting back to order. We're at the regular order of business in our meeting and out of the delegates session for our LSB meeting of March 19th, 2022. And we are going to have a presentation on the CAB right now so people understand the criteria and what it takes to get it, our funding back. So, Fred, I guess, would you help?
Yes. Me?
I thought we had, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So, I mean, what did
you want me to share screen?
Let me verify. Isn't your secretary report later, Carol?
It is. I made a mistake.
That's okay. That's your one for the year. Now you're done. Duly noted. So I would ask you to share the 2020 document first, please.
You told me to set it oldest, latest. So okay, 2020, which one?
The May 22nd, 2020. Lydia Brazon.
There, that one.
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
So this is the document that on May 22nd, 2020, that was sent to both chair at that time, Alex Steinberg, and Lydia Brazon, who was the executive director interim. And at that time, they were told that the first line that we were told no longer eligible for CPB's Radio Community Service Grant, effective May 31st, 2020. So we were formally terminated from CPB funding or CPB recognition at all at that particular time, which means that we need to start essentially from scratch to get back into the CPB.
I'm going to roll up the letter.
And if you look at it, it immediately eliminated our music licensing agreements as of the end of May of 2020. And they requested, they actually demanded, because there was an overpayment for the community service grant. And they demanded that $137,506 be refunded to them because they overpaid us because the finances were improperly sent to them. And they also future CSG program eligibility. At the very bottom, it says, licensing stations must fulfill all requirements outlined in the May 28th, 2013 letter. And so that was the termination letter that we received. And now I would like to show you the 2013 letter that's referenced in that letter.
2013. Okay,
March
that would be
2013.
March 28th. I have a June 2013 and I have a July 2013.
There should be a March 28th, 2013 letter.
Well, here's the other one. Summer
that's reading. The one.
That's it.
That's March.
Yeah. Didn't I say March? Did I say May?
I thought you said May, but whatever.
I may have. I told you I'm like not feeling that well today. I may have misspoken. I'm sorry. So this is the original letter that was suspended us. So really we have not received funding from the CPB since March 28th, 2013. This letter suspended our funding. And it gave us a set of required actions in order to get our funding back. And if you look at the summary, the Office of Inspector General completed an examination of CPB grants to all 5 stations. And they, in order to resolve the matters, they request these actions be taken. And there are quite a lot of them. We can send this letter out to everybody later as well. I have sent it to board members before. I don't know if some of our board members seem to be confused about it, but if you look at the discrete accounting of CPB Radio CSG revenues, that has not yet been done. There's open meetings and financial records requirements that they requested. My understanding is those documents have not yet been provided. If you look at the next page, they demanded $137,506 back, as we said, and the CPB, and they did not get that money refunded by Pacifica until 7 years later. So the request was made in 2013. When we received the termination letter, when Pacifica received that on May 22nd, 2020, after they were formally terminated, then they paid the $137,506 back to the CPB. It was awfully late at that point, and we were already terminated. So there are a number of other recommendations that they go along with that were proposed by the Office of Inspector General, OIG. They are delineated in the document and the CPB determinations in that document. And I'm not going to read them all because there's a lot of them. But in essence, we have not complied with those demands yet. So although we're up to date on the audits, although we're up to date on now we have given the money back, we have still not complied with the other required actions, like the deliverables due to CPB by. We haven't done that. And my understanding is Maxie Jackson, when Maxie was here, he was executive director for Heartbeat. He was trying to identify the areas, and the areas he identified with noncompliance include, besides the overpayment, a lack of discrete accounting of CSG revenues and expenses at each station. We still do not have that. A lack of compliance with open meetings and open financial records at each station. My understanding is we do not have that either. And I'm not as sure about the other required actions, but I'll bring your attention to the next one I would like to have is the October 29th document, Fred.
Yes.
And that document, there was some people appear to be very confused in the email lists. I don't know how that happened, but I saw one of the emails that we still have. They've been nice enough to give us, continue providing us music over the music grant program that was inaccurate. We were severed from the CPB status for music rights compliance on October 29th, 2020. This letter is a letter that was sent by our compliance director of engineering and compliance for Pacifica, John Almela, which states that we were formally severed from having access to that coverage on, let's see, I think it's on the 30th of May, May 30th, 2020. So we were formally severed and we're no longer eligible. So, and that's really cost us a lot. Aside from the money that we do want to get back, we've lost a lot of money from having to pay for the streaming music and the copyright issues that we may be out of compliance with some of those still, but it's costing us a lot to pay for those elements that were provided by CPB funding and including us in the program still. So although we did not have CPB eligibility, we were suspended in 2013. We were not formally severed until the May 22nd, 2020. And then we also lost the music coverage, unfortunately, which is costing every station quite a bit of money. I would like to bring up the ombudsman document, please.
And what date is that, please?
June 11th, 2013, fundraising ethics.
June 11th, there it is.
This is very disturbing to us because when we looked over it, it appears that the ombudsman who was working for the CPB doing an investigation, in particular, I understand there were some Broadway tickets that were assessed, and that was part of the money that had to go back to CPB. At the same time, he was getting, I guess, complaints about WBI and ethics. And so this document this is a public document, by the way. All these documents are public. They're not proprietary. This document we can share with people. It's still publicly available. But what he was talking about here is that there were violations from complaints that he was investigating, and including, I guess, a former app manager, Chris Albertson, was stating that there were, they had made, WBA may have stepped over their legal bounds when it came to fundraising. And he was unable to contact at that time the station manager, which is shown at the very bottom of this document, which is disturbing because any station manager that's called or contacted by the CPB, I would think that would be very important to get back to them to make sure we maintain our funding at the time. And unfortunately, that did not happen. And if you could show the July 10th document, Fred?
Yes, I can.
2013. This is the second document that was also available online. And at the very end of the document, he's saying he still is having trouble. He only has one person. He was finally able to get a hold of somebody at the station because a volunteer contacted him that was someone that was maybe an unpaid staff, I guess, at KPA, at WBAI, helped him get a hold of somebody. And at the very bottom, okay, sorry about that. At the very bottom, it states...
What point of information? Who's Joel Kaplan?
Pardon me?
Who's the guy at the top, Joel Kaplan? I just wanted to know.
Joel Kaplan is the ombudsman for the CPB.
Thank you.
And he was doing investigation. You. You're welcome. Sorry if I wasn't clear enough about that.
And, you actually were.
And if you look at the very bottom of the page, it states that he never got a response from the general manager of WBAI, and Ms. Katz called him, who was also working there, but basically blew him off. Said, as busy as I am, he's busier, and he has hundreds of calls he's sitting on top of, and he will not be responding. So... that didn't endear us to the CPB Office of Ombudsman or the CPB, that we never, that particular station that had the problem and particular problems never responded. The general manager never responded. So, to recap, we have to comply. And this is what a lot of people don't seem to understand. The elements in the 2013 letter are, They're pretty big to surmount, but the CPB is stating that they are not going to return us to eligibility, much less to saying, yes, we give you grants or not. We will not even be eligible to apply until we conform to the demands by the 2013 letter. And again, I will resend this to our board members that I had sent before, but I'll resend it. And I would like to bring up the March 18th, 2022 document to finish off. Because it gets confusing because people keep saying, we should go ahead and apply. We need to apply. And, you know, God knows we all want to see us get CPB funding back. I mean, it's really a critical element for us. We've lost somewhere around $1 million a year at least. So this is, the top is recent from March 9th because I was asking her, did something change? Are we going to be eligible? And she, who is the senior vice president of journalism, radio, and CSG services, she's the top dog that makes the decision you get eligible for that particular issue. And she says nothing has changed. It's still necessary to conform to the terms of March 28th, 2013 letter. And if you go to the very bottom here, I think it's more, yes, this is, as you note, I asked the, last year the same question because people were saying, oh, we have to apply. And I was like, I want to apply, but I want to know the criteria. Because if we apply and they say you're not eligible to even apply, then we're just wasting our time. And we want it back and we want to make sure we comply with the terms of demand from the CPB. So as she's saying here, to be considered for re-entry into the CSG program, it must be open. That they're saying the CSG, radio CSG program must be open to new applicants. Licensee and stations must demonstrate full compliance with the general provisions. Now, the general provisions are a step beyond. They're another element of this whole issue. The 2013 letter is one element because she says at the time of the application and must fulfill all requirements outlined in the March 28th, 2013 letter. So that was last year. And then the top again, could you put that back at the top, Fred? The top is this year. And
actually just yesterday.
It was just Friday, March 8th. Yeah, it was just, it was March 9th. Cause I sent it to you.
Actually, your date here is March 18th.
Right. But the date.
The mail was a week ago. Okay.
Yeah. See, she sent it to me on March the 9th. So, you know, having been, on many boards and in many elements of, I know that when I really want something badly, you can't run around with your hair on fire and get it. You have to make sure you firmly establish the criteria, and then you have to go back and fulfill those requirements before you're going to get it. So I would like to ask, you can go ahead and take that down now. I would like to ask Sherry Gendelman to verify what I'm saying, because Sherry is an attorney who is currently practicing in the state of California. And Sherry also was, she was also a PNB chair before and on the Pacifica National Board before. So she understands from both perspectives, from the perspective of what our bylaws demand and CPB requirements demand. And she also understands how the law underpins all of this. So I would ask Sherry, would you please clarify?
I like C to be recognized, please.
No,
excuse me, we're not Sherry Gendelman, the next person to spot. We're not doing questions yet.
You're out of order.
There are several people ahead of you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Sherry. Would you please clarify exactly what I meant in legal terms and specify what the 2013 letter means?
What the 2013 letter means is that we were seriously out of compliance in some areas that should be of great concern to every member of this local station board and to every listener and contributor to KPFA, namely that our account practices were so abhorrent and substandard that the CPB finally said, we are not going to fund you because you have failed to comply with standard accounting procedures, which we're, you know, it's not our money, it's listeners' money. And then they give it to the various stations, and we then give it to Pacifica, or Pacifica may raise some money during their fundraising days. So I want to thank Christine for this report. I want to emphasize to all of the members that these letters have been circulated by Christina to members of the LSB on several occasions. And it seems that some people feel that they can just come to the meeting without reading the preparatory material and then ask questions about it. And it really prolongs the meetings. Anyway, I think legally that the CPB provided the station and stations with an enormous amount of money, and that is taxpayer money. Everybody on this call probably pays taxes, though it's not as if government is demanding some sort of terrible cost for us to be eligible to receive this money, which we are entitled to because we paid that's our tax dollar. And I think that legally, I'm just astounded that KPFA did not pay back that Pacifica did not pay back the $137,000 in change until after 7 or 8 years, CPB finally said, that's enough. You're not eligible anymore. And then we paid it back. So I think that it is in our interest to make sure that the national office gets Pacifica and therefore KPFA in a position to receive that money. And as Christine said, it was in excess of $1 million into our budget, and it protects us from certain types of lawsuit for misuse or abuse of any copyright that may attach to music that we play or any interviews that we may play.
I have a process question, Christina.
Yes.
Is there time for questions in this report?
Yes, there will be. I just want to make sure.
The other question I have are people who are not members of the LSB allowed to ask questions?
No, they're not.
Thank you. If you're not identified as an LSB member, I will not be able to call on you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sherry. I appreciate that because, again, we really want that funding back, but we want to make sure that we go back to the root of the problem, which is addressing the 2013 letter and figure out how to comply with that. And one of the main things, my understanding, the lack of discrete accounting of CSG revenues and expenses at the station, we need to go back and have that from 2013 on. And that's a pretty heavy lift, but it's doable. It's not that it's not doable. It just will take a lot of work. So I hope that the PMD is able to conform to the terms of the 2013 letter. There's nobody on our board that I'm aware of that does not want this funding restored because it would be a great boon to every single station. So at that, we will take questions.
Carol Wolfley is the first question. Elizabeth Milo is the second. I cannot take 92562 because I don't know who they are.
You need to identify yourself, please, 925 number. So we
know. Oh, that's Frank.
I think that's Frank.
That's Frank. Yeah. Kuhn, yeah. I'm second to speak after Carol.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's okay. Thank you, Frank. Go ahead. Carol first.
Sorry, I'm on the phone. I'm driving.
Yes, you're kind of wavery voice, but did you want to ask a question? You were actually first, I thought. Frank?
Carol was first.
If you guys want to let me go first, that would be great. It's up to you guys. I know Carol can stand
that's
up.
Fine.
I'll leave it up to you.
Please, go.
It's fine.
Okay, go ahead, Frank. I'm just looking at the order of hands. So go ahead, Frank.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, there's a little background noise loading in the car. We've been on the technology task force working hard on all the letters. There's a team of people actually analyzing all the letters and the compliance and what we got to do to be compliant. And I would urge anybody here to join the technology task force, which has been the team of people who've been working really hard on it. And I think to the bottom line for me is that a cab is going to be part of the solution. And what we wanted to do was just hold a cab meeting, ASAP, proper noticing and all that. Have the meeting and then post the minutes ASAP. And that would just bring KPFA into the compliance. And the money's been paid back. The audits have been done. And I'm not the one directly working on the documents, but I have been in the meetings. So really what I'm trying to advocate for is I understand Darlene's concern and other people's concern about who's on the cab. And I think some of the people that I've encouraged, Joy and Sharon, they're stepping up just so we could reform a cab and have a cab meeting. And that was their intent, is to help us out. At the first cab meeting, we could discuss the PSAs that we have at KPFA and getting those on the air and then opening it up to the public. I just feel, as someone that's been part of the technology task force since the LSB, is that we just want to notice a meeting, have it, post the minutes, and that will help tremendously at the KPFA end. And that's pretty much my bottom line. There's a lot more I could say, but since I'm getting ready to get in the car and all that, I would just hope today that we could move to do a cab meeting and just direct whatever we have to do to just get that ball rolling, like, you know, a couple of days, whatever we have to do to notice it, have it, and post it.
That's good.
You and know, then we can work out
of time, Frank.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. That's why we had the election today. That's why we elected a cab today. And we understand the urgency on your part, although it is very optimistic in my perception, considering we are ineligible and we will be until we comply with the other elements of the 2013 letter. But we did elect a cab today and we will get that going, Frank. And I appreciate that. Okay. Then,
Sorry. Thank you. I had mute on the phone. It's a little more.
Difficult. Oh, that's okay.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We heard the urgency. That's why we elected them today, because of the urgency that we're hearing from the PNB. Again, you have to comply with the 2013 letter terms. Carol?
Yes. I have a motion I would like to read. I move that the KPFA local station board support the efforts of the Pacifica executive director to explore possible restoration of CPB funds for Pacifica, including resolution of those issues which led to termination of grants in 2013, and that the KPFA LSB reach out to students, youth, and people of color in alignment with the demographics of the KPFA signal range for their appointments to the Community Advisory Board. LSB and KPFA staff members may not serve on the Community Advisory Board. Okay. So I have posted that motion in the chat.
I second it.
Thank you. I'm going to ask people to take their hands down for the moment that are in order. I see Elizabeth was next and James was next, I believe. Am I right, Fred?
Yes.
Thank you. So please take your hands down for the moment. And we have a motion on the floor that's been seconded. Would all of those people in favor of the motion please raise your hands?
Point of information?
Yes.
Point of information as well.
Go ahead first. I think it was James
first.
James
was first.
Yeah, I think I
think James was first and then Donald. Go ahead, James.
Point of order, go first.
Yeah, just a second, Donald.
James, can you please go first?
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to find this thing in the chat because I didn't see it in the chat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did it just appear in the chat?
It's just in now.
It's hard for me to, you know, when somebody just reads something, you know, that I've never seen before, it's just hard for me to process it, you know, on the fly like that. And so I think we need a little bit of time here to do the processing before we go to a vote. And, I'd sure like to read it. So
we'll let people read it.
Of course.
And the people will decide. The floor will decide. Donald, you had a point of order.
Yeah, point of order is you ask people to vote on this motion. There has to be discussion on the motion first.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
He said if you ask people to vote, they need to have a discussion period.
But yeah, I could motivate it, Christina.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Motivate your motion.
Okay, so, part of the issue is that there are some local station community advisory boards meeting, but they're not necessarily following the CPB guidelines. One of the problems that when Maxie Jackson was a former executive director for Pacifica, he met with CPB. The executive directors are the ones who work out with the CPB, you know, what is going to happen, what is possible. And they negotiate those, and when Maxie met, he told the CPB representatives told Pacifica that they're overgoverned and they have many, many committees. And because there's so many committees, they're not functioning according to open meeting regulations. As, I mentioned before, the Pacifica National Board is not functioning according to open meeting guidelines. And they haven't for a while. And many of us have said, you know, they have to post their minutes. They have to post their agendas and those kinds of things. And if Pacifica continues to create more and more committees and the people are not posting things appropriately, that is a major obstacle. When Christina said open meeting laws, you know, open meeting regulations, that is a crucial thing. So part of this, motion that I made is about being working towards youth and working towards people of color and having that kind of inclusion for the future of our station. And I just wanted to clarify that I was instructed when we were on the cab that the cab is not open to LSB members or staff members.
I think Sherry Gendelman is next. Sherry,
I've
forgotten to lower my hand. I'm sorry.
Okay, Chris is next then.
Sorry, I was having trouble unmuting. I sent a motion through. This is probably not the right time for it, though. So I guess once we're dispensed with this one, even though it's kind of a related motion, I'd like to present that one.
I actually have a point of order that was lost and needs to be addressed because it comes up first. Elizabeth, you want to have your point of order?
Yeah, my question is, why is
What's
this motion?
Point of order?
Why is this particular motion being listened, heard before we've actually done the other motions regarding the actual cab issues? I don't understand why this motion is being put in priority. This motion wouldn't be considered new business under new business instead of what we're doing right now?
No, it's a part of the element that we're talking about right now that was posted in the minutes. So I'm going to rule your objection out of order.
Okay.
Who's next?
Well, Chris was still talking.
Thank you, Chris. Go ahead.
Okay. I suppose Brian suggested that I ask Carol if she'd be willing to amend her motion to include a recommendation that a working group be formed to address these concerns. I can motivate that portion of the amendment if Carol's friendly to it.
Is this a friendly amendment you're proposing?
I am.
Okay, we have a friendly amendment proposed, which falls under Robert's Rules of Order right now. So do I have a second on Chris's friendly amendment?
Second.
Thank you. Go ahead and motivate your amendment.
Okay, so this has actually been brought up before. This is the concerns that are brought up in the CPB letter are multidisciplinary, multi-dimensional. And as a result, it's very unlikely that one single committee within the PNB could address them. I doubt that finance could address them because there's issues with, like, for example, listenership. What we need to do, I think, at the PNB level, having been a member of that body for a few years, I can tell you this with certainty, is try and gather people together throughout the entire network, particularly starting with the PNB, to support Elizabeth in her ability to ascertain these various pieces of information and to follow them, you know, to get people within a working group to address each one of these points, to take responsibility for them and to follow them through so that nothing gets lost. And also that we have enough expertise to actually pull all this together. And if the PNB can't manage it, they should pull in from outside the PNB, you know, whatever they need to do to get the expertise necessary to support the executive director in fulfilling the obligations that have been presented by the CPB. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And Carol, do you accept the friendly amendment?
No. Number one, Chris, I mean, I appreciate, let's see, did you write it?
I did. I sent it to the LSB, actually.
Oh.
But it was sent as motion rather
can
than.
Can you write it in the chat? Can you just paste
I can do that. I can copy it to the chat, yes.
Friendly amendment, actually.
So my goal right now is for us today to get it established that we are, you know, going to have a cab and we're going to elect some people. But my concern is we need to find out from Stephanie, Wells. You said Elizabeth, but I think you meant Stephanie Wells, right, Chris?
I did. My apologies.
Yeah. So to give her a little time to figure out what she needs and to let us know what she needs because, Pacifica loves to form committees and then those committees start meeting and they don't know what they're doing sometimes and they don't know how they're posting them. And it's like more and more committees. And I'm actually puzzled at why the technology committee is doing a whole issue about community advisory boards, and CPB. It's a little baffling to me, but so what I would suggest is that we pass the motion that I made today, and that the chair of the local station board be in communication with both the general manager of KPFA and the executive